What's up, everybody? Before we get today's episode going, I want to remind you to please check out and support our PowerPlay Patreon page. For just $2 a month, you get access to all of our bonus content like drafts, trivia, story time, and you get the episodes ad-free and one day early. So please take the time and support this independent podcast by going to patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. That's patreon.com/thepowerplaypod to support the boys.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Jeeker and Anthony the Backup. What's up, boys? Jeeker, how's it going over there in the Berg?
Oh, just another beautiful Sunday here. 90-something degrees, really, really humid. Couldn't breathe. It was fantastic.
Couldn't breathe? Get out of here, okay? This is nothing compared to what we have up here, down here.
Mm-hmm. It's... Actually, it's pretty similar to our day today. It was about 90 degrees, pretty humid.
Yeah, it's cold. You're used to it, though.
Yeah, I think in the summer, it doesn't matter where you live on the East Coast. You're getting heat.
You're getting crispy some way or another.
Yeah, you're getting humid.
You should see the watch tan on her.
Oof.
Oh, the old watch tan.
Oh, yeah, especially because I drive the cart when we play golf. So I hang out to the left side of the cart.
How'd you do on the course?
Oh, I shot a 79 on the fourth at I personally think the hardest course in Pittsburgh. I was on fire.
Oh, man. Red hot right there.
Found
his new career.
I'm back. No, I had a stretch of going a month where I was piss poor at golf, and last 2 weeks I've been buzzing, so. Got a new shaft in the driver. Got a 3-wood.
Look at this guy.
I learned how to hit. Oh, I am buzzing.
Phil Mickelson over there. Unreal. Anthony, how's it going over there being a dad?
Fantastic. As you know, I was able to get out of the house a little bit earlier today, hang out, caught some lunch with you, got your suits.
Picked out the suit today.
It was nice to get out of the house a little bit, but other than that, it's awesome. Love being a dad, taking care of the little one. I'm already looking at the smallest skates I can get him. But it's looking like the smallest skates you can get are still like 2-year-olds. Like it's for like a 2-year-old's foot. So it's going to be a minute.
It's so far away.
We're getting there. A
couple minutes.
We're getting there. Just a couple, you know, but kid's doing great. Doctor said he was thriving. So I guess that's good.
That's a good thing. Big word.
Mom and I aren't sleeping much, but you know, he's thriving. So wonderful.
Did you get any, or how much sleep are you running on right now?
Oh, we didn't sleep at all last night.
Oof. Oof, that's tough.
Maybe you'll have a better take than Zemgus Girgensson.
I stand by Zemgus. I stand with Zemgus.
Unbelievable.
Always,
unbelievable. We've got a great show ahead of us, though, folks. We've got a loaded show. We've got two brand new games hitting the episode today. We're going to start the show with Keep Trade Cut, and we're going to finish it with a little Guess the Player. We've got Start Sits Call-Ups, and we're going to be previewing an Eastern Conference series. We're going to preview the New York Rangers against the Carolina Hurricanes. That's the series that we're previewing today. That's what's going to happen. Whether you like it or not, we're going to talk about the Rangers, and I'm going to love it, okay? I'm going to love it. So before we get into everything, I want to remind everyone to please don't forget to follow us on all the social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. One day, and I mean one day, Anthony is going to give the password to our Twitter to Jeeker so we can actually run it the proper way. But
you know what?
I digress.
While you guys are doing that, that's just what I'll do. You guys keep talking.
Perfect.
I'm gonna find the password.
Perfect. And before we get into the Keep Trade Cut, I want to apologize to everybody. We haven't been out there in quite some time. Our content has been on a decline. It's mostly my fault because I have been dealing with a lot of things with school and just a lot of shit, and I want to apologize for that. We are back now. I'm going to try and pump out as much content as possible. We've got story time with Jeeker. We've got trivia. We've got all the good stuff. We've got drafts. We're going to be coming out with a ton of content, so be prepared for that. But let's get into it, boys. Let's play some Keep Trade Cut. You boys ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're starting off with the centers here, boys. Keep Trade Cut, Anze Kopitar, Ryan O'Reilly, and Alexander Barkov. Jeeker.
Ooh. That's mean. It's a mean question.
That is a mean question. I didn't want to just do like Keep Trade Cut, Alexander Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, and Connor McDavid.
I like the question. The easy cut is Anze Kopitar.
Stanley Cup champion.
He's declining. And
it's more this point of his career.
Yeah.
That's fair.
5 years ago, I would have said keep or trade maybe. But I don't know, man. It's hard. I was talking to somebody the other day. I think my current favorite forward in the NHL that's not like Sid or Gino or anything like that is Ryan O'Reilly. So it's like it's a very hard keep or trade because Barkov's young and I'm going to keep Barkov and trade O'Reilly. And it hurts me to say that solely based on the fact that Barkov puts up a lot more points given the players around him. I mean, he's only got Huberto and Tro. Well, he doesn't even have Tro anymore. So
yeah, we haven't even seen much of that either. We haven't even seen much life without Vinny Trocheck in Sunrise.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to bode well for them. Vin's a good player, but I'm going to keep Barkov, trade O'Reilly, and again, it sucks to say that, but.
I come with the tough keep trade cuts to start. Okay, Anthony, what do you think? Do you agree with Jeeker? Is that where you would go as well, or what would you do?
I have a similar opinion to Jeeker, but I'm going to take it in a different direction. I'm going to trade Anze, cut Barkov.
Whoa, Zemgus Girgensen 2.0. Holy shit!
And I'm keeping. I'm obviously keeping Ryan O'Reilly, the Stanley Cup. Experience the guy you want in the playoffs. It's a really good.
All right, no one wants to know why you're starting Ryan O'Reilly. We all want to know why you're.
Because you can only keep one. So what's the difference?
I think so. And I'll
John Barkov's got a lot more.
The thing is I would honestly. Boo. So for me, I would do the opposite of what Jeeker did. I would trade Alexander Barkov. I would keep Ryan O'Reilly, and I would obviously cut Kopitar, similar to Jeeker. It's the age. I mean, that's the obvious choice for me. But I'm trading Barkov because I feel like this is something that's always like forgotten in this keep trade cut whenever anyone else does it. It's like, who's going to bring you the most value? And I know Barkov is a great player, and I think Ryan O'Reilly is a great player, but I think out of these three, Barkov's going to get you the most, okay? He's the younger guy.
But at the same time, coming off of Stanley Cup, I think Ryan O'Reilly might take more. And if you're looking to your future of your franchise, Barkov's going to be the younger, more talented,
that's
more
true.
Upfront player.
That's true. But you can trade Barkov, get more pieces for your team because you only have one player because you only keep one player right now. So your team's only one-player team. So there you go. Ryan O'Reilly would be my start, though, because that's who you can build around. He can teach the young guys, but then you get a good package. You get a good package for Barkov. And, Anthony, I can't believe anything but cutting Anze Kopitar. I thought that was going to be the easy one.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think Anze Kopitar was that good to begin with, even when they were winning all these cups.
I liked him a lot. I thought he was a good player.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think he should have won the Selke trophies.
Ooh. Ooh.
He's a good player. No, I'm not going to say he's not a good player. He's a good player, but like,
thought he was great. Great on the faceoff dot.
He's good at PK. That's why they did it. He's good at PK.
You need
this is a thing for another episode, but pull up the three guys that he was nominated with the years he won it, and I'll give you reasons why he shouldn't have won it.
Okay, I'm going to pull that up while we get into our next keep trade cut. Anthony, I'll start with you. We're going to keep trade cut the goalies here. Ben Bishop, Connor Hellebuyck, and Tuukka Rask.
Ooh.
All similar stats, all Vezina Trophy candidates this year. And I mean it's tough. And I know you used to have a hatred for Mr. Ben Bishop, but yeah, I feel like that has changed as of late because he has started to kind of.
I've changed my mind on Ben quite a bit. But to me the obvious keep here is Tuukka. He's the guy I want in the pipes when it matters in the playoffs. I feel like he was unbelievable last year for the Bruins. He's been kind of their scapegoat in the playoffs from, you know, Bostonians, if you will.
Yeah.
I disagree with that 100%. I think he's awesome. I think he's the best out of these three goalies, so you keep him. You want to go with the best guy right now to win you a cup. I am going to cut Ben Bishop, just almost like taking what from what you guys were saying in our last keep trade cut, just the age. I feel like you would be able to get more from a younger Connor Hellebuyck, who maybe his best games are ahead of him, whereas Ben Bishop is kind of like he needs to win now or he's declining, kind of like Anze Kopitar was, like you guys have mentioned. So,
Jeeker, what about you?
Tuca is the start, the easy keep for me.
Keep Tuca, trade Hellebuyck, cut Bishop.
Yeah, that's
pretty easy.
That one would have been unanimous for that one's going to be unanimous because I also think that's a pretty fair thing. But I mean, Ben Bishop, I mean, he could be a good trade piece there.
Oh,
I mean,
I think he could be a good trade piece. Yeah, I don't. All three of those goalies are goalies I'd want in between the pipes. I'd honestly rather Bishop over Hellebuyck if you just gave me. If you know, I could only keep one, I'd go with Bishop over Hellebuyck.
So when you're trying to figure out whether or not you want Tuca or Hellebuyck, you don't want that young potential of Connor Hellebuyck. You'd rather that experienced netminder in Tuca Rask?
I think Tuca still has at least two or three more years in him to be the goalie he is, especially with how hungry he is to actually get the cup.
Dude, he's been so close so many times.
He's absolutely starving for a cup. And you can tell his game gets elevated as soon as the playoffs start. He's the guy, as we all said, obvious start, obvious key.
Now, all of us have never obviously played in the NHL, but we've all been there. We've all been in championship games. We're all winners on this show. And we've all lost championship games. We've always been close.
Six-time beer league champion.
Boom.
You're welcome.
So,
season 2019.
In Tuukka Rask's standpoint, how much do you think that affects him? I know this is going off on a sidebar here, but how much do you think that actually affects him in the back of his head? It's like, okay, I've been close a lot, and everyone's kind of getting on me for this. How much do you think that plays into like a nothing at all?
No, I think he's got the respect and the love of the guys in the room, and that's all that matters.
He's a pro. I mean, he's a pro. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, he went to the. I mean, the game. It's not like they got shut out, or it's not like they got swept in last year's cup. Like they took it to seven. It's not like he took
it to the. Freaking
I mean, goalies can't very rarely, unless you're like a generational goaltender, a goalie win you a Stanley Cup. Single-handedly, like, yeah. So, I mean, I agree with your answers.
Yeah, I thought that one. That one was the unanimous one. I thought the other one would have been close to unanimous. Last one here.
The center's question was very hard.
The defenseman here. This is now we're going on the back end here. Tyson Barrie, Tony D'Angelo, and Dougie Hamilton. All similar stats this season. I think Barrie and D'Angelo are right-handed shots. I don't know if Dougie's a right-handed shot.
Dougie's a right-handed shot.
So that was by luck there that all of them are right-handed shots. Tyson Barrie, upcoming free agent. Tony D'Angelo might be an upcoming free agent. And Dougie Hamilton has been on the move a lot. Who are you going with, Jeeker? Who would you keep? Who would you trade? And who would you cut?
Cut Tyson Barrie. Trade Tony D'Angelo. Keep Dougie Hamilton.
Ooh, why is that?
Fairly easy answer. Trade D'Angelo because he's had a breakout year. He's going to be a cheap-ish type player. Yeah, he only had one season, but people will bite into that. Cut by Tyson Barrie. He's getting older. He was on a. I personally don't think he was as good as he was in Colorado. I mean, he was on a team with arguably some of the best goal scorers in the NHL, when Tavares and Matthews and. Stats weren't really up to where they normally are for him. And then Dougie Hamilton, how often do you see a right shot defenseman score 20 goals?
Yeah, that is very impressive.
Well, I think he might have went back to back years with 20 goals. He got hurt this year, but I mean, he was on pace for 20 goals. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure when he got hurt, I'll look it up. Pretty sure when he got hurt, he was on point to get like 20, 25 goals.
Yeah, he has been very good. Especially it's been weird to see him be traded, and I was like, oh, I don't understand that. I thought he was a great player. Yeah.
People might say locker room cancer. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for anyone, but
well, that's the other thing. Tony D'Angelo has been known to be like that too.
Yeah, and that's more documented. And to be honest with you, I don't give a shit if he's a locker room cancer. He puts in 20 goals as a defenseman.
Exactly.
Bring him on my team.
Exactly. I think I would be in the similar situation with your keep trade cut. Anthony, what about you? Are you starting Tony? Are you keeping Tony D? Or do you have a?
As much as I'd love to create some drama and controversy here, it's.
Controversy creates cash, buddy.
Dougie Hamilton's the keep. You capitalize on Tony D's big year, and you cut Barrie, who just had a pretty rough year in Toronto. It's based on what you saw last year. It's the only decision you can make.
Yeah,
if you're any kind of competent GM.
All right, so Dougie Hamilton in 18-19 had 18 goals, so pretty close to 20. This year, in 47 games, he had 14 goals, so he was going to hit 20 this year.
Yeah, he is a
Carolina team that was like not necessarily the highest power offense in the league.
No, not by any means.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out who was up for the The Selke with Kopitar.
The Selke. So, and he won it in 16 and 18. 16 was Bergeron, and I just had it up in my on my phone too. I can't remember who the other one was.
Bergeron had to be there for both.
But he was. The other one was Couturier. I take back the. I think Kopitar should deserve to win it in whatever it was 18. I think it was.
Yeah.
He had 92 points. So Kessler was the other one from Anaheim in 16. I think Bergeron should have won that one. I mean, that was Bergeron in 15-16, 32 goals, 36 assists. He only had 68 points, but I mean, man, that was one of their big years in 15-16.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so I think Bergeron wins that one, but I take back what I said. The only you could push for Couturier in 18.
Yeah, I've always liked Couturier a lot, man. I've always thought he was a very underrated player and doesn't get a lot of the respect around the league.
The reason I think you could give Couturier a push on that year was in 16-17 he had 14 goals, 20 assists for 34 points as like a second line or third line center, and then 17-18 was the year that they moved Giroux to the wing because he was having a bad start. And Couturier played on that first line and he had 31 and 45. So, I mean, I guess the Selke's a defensive forward, but to be a defensive forward and put up 35 goals is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. That was interesting to see you pump the tires of a Flyers player right there, buddy.
Once in a while, but I have a soft spot for him.
You can't knock there.
Claude Giroux is one of the best captains in the league, by the way. Just letting everyone know.
False.
What's that?
I said Claude Giroux, top five captain in the NHL.
Oh, I love Claude. I hate the Flyers.
Love Claude.
But I love Claude. He's a great captain.
No,
great
you don't captain. Think so?
All awesome right. player, side. Great captain. I mean, all biases aside, I hate the Flyers. I love
overrated. Sidebar while Anthony finishes the news and notes before we get into that. Jaker, top five captains in the league. Go for it.
Top five captains in the league?
Yep. Crosby's number one, right? That's
Sid's number one. I agree. Bergeron's not a captain, so nope. I can't even say that. Chara, number two.
I'm gonna put that up as a. I'm gonna put that as a poll on Twitter. Well, hopefully
that's
we get
a good one. Damn.
Is
Barkov the captain in Florida?
Yes.
I think Barkov's a good captain.
I always like Nick Foligno. That's one of the guys I always think that should be in consideration. He's a great captain.
He's a good pick. Trying to think, man. It's hard to guess.
Oh shit! Who's the captain in St. Louis? Oh, Petrangelo.
I think Getzlaff's a good captain.
Yeah.
Getzlaff.
Getz is a good captain.
That bald bitch.
Jonathan Toews.
No. Over.
Oh.
Oh my god! Come on! Come on!
Way overrated.
Five cups.
Kevin Giroux both.
Three cups in 5 years.
Okay. Did you see the team he had around him?
Did you see him play though?
No, he played good. No, don't get me wrong. I think he's overrated as a player.
I mean, he got
the last 3 years.
Okay, so
don't even start with me.
I'm not talking about playing ability. We're talking about captaincy.
Leadership. Leadership.
He's a good leader.
Leadership.
He's overrated
as
a player. Yeah, he's overrated as a player. I'm saying.
But we're not talking about play. We're talking about captain.
Oh, then he's a good captain, I guess.
Is he overrated as a player, though? He's a very good player.
I think he's very overrated. I mean, he's just overrated as a player.
He's just, you know, he's a grizzled
you
vet
fucking,
now,
you Are
know?
You fucking telling me he should be on the 10 NHL 100 list over Evgeny Malkin? You're out of your goddamn mind.
I mean,
to be completely honest, I hate.
Talking about just, like.
I'm talking about as a player.
As an overall player? I mean,
no
maybe
chance
as an offensive player, no. But overall, yes.
Balkan's just as good defensively as he is. He's been. No, he has more defensive talent than a lot of other centers in the league. 100%.
As of like 2 years ago when Sullivan came in, but he's been a shitty defenseman up until that.
That's not.
He's,
dude.
Okay, he still should be on the NHL 100 list.
Yeah, he's the type of guy
honestly,
who.
Go ahead, Ann. Go ahead.
He makes. Okay, he's such a great player, Evgeny Malkin. And 90% of the time when he has the puck, he's doing great things with it. And then there's that 10% of the time where you're like, okay, he just lost the puck in our own zone. What the hell is he doing?
His controller was shut off.
He gets away with it because he's 90% of the time that's going the other way for a good scoring chance. But without the puck, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I can go back and look at some – check the tape.
Check the tape.
I'm checking the ticker tape right now.
Honestly –
I'll check tape. But without the puck –
We have to go to wingers. Let's go to wingers for your. We didn't do the wingers for the keep trade.
Oh, I didn't do wingers. I didn't know. I don't have any wingers. It was just three. I wanted to get it. I didn't want to do too much. I mean, I can come up with one real quick while I ask you this question.
No, no, no. Hit the news and notes, and I'll check these stats.
There you go. Before we get into news and notes, though, I want to just say my personal gripe with top 100 list for players all time.
Go ahead.
The NFL does it. The NHL does it. All of them do it. I don't like seeing current players in the top 100 all time. Unless it's a generational talent like a Sidney Crosby or an Alex Ovechkin, I don't want to see anyone else.
Wait, were we talking all time or current players?
All time. He was talking about all time.
Oh, I was confused on. Okay, yeah, I don't think either Taves or Malkin at this point.
Yeah.
They're still playing should be in there. I agree with that.
I don't think there should be anyone besides
I don't think there
should be anyone besides Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin even coming close to an all-time 100 list, okay?
For now. Evaluated after their career.
Exactly.
Sure. I agree with that.
Exactly.
Okay. I disagree with that, but
do tell.
I'm looking at stats. What has made Malkin that much less than Crosby?
I feel like you don't want to do that to yourself, though. It's something that's not on the stat chart. It's something in games that you watch. It's like the guy gives up on plays. He's lazy on certain plays. Maybe it's changed as of late because of like a system. Mike Sullivan, I think, is a great coach. But before him, I think it was a lot of Malkin being like Ovechkin was. Ovechkin was a lazy player.
Well, Sully's been their coach for what, 6 years now?
No.
2016.
Yeah, I was about to say he's only been
four
for
years,
like four
years.
Years.
So maybe
as of late he's changed.
As of late. 4 years is like a period of time now.
I don't know, man.
We're coming up on half a decade.
Well, when we get to the half a decade point, when he gets to 5 years straight of being a good defenseman, then we can make that happen, okay? But until
we may never see that. I don't know.
We'll get into that. Speaking of that, let's get into it right now, Anthony. What do you got for news and notes from around the league?
I was scraping the bottom of the barrel for something we can get hockey related that didn't have to do with COVID-19 and players testing positive. And I got just a couple things. If you didn't see by now, Edmonton has been chosen to host both conference finals as well as the Stanley Cup finals. So that would be pretty amazing if Edmonton found their way into the cup finals and
That'd
had a whole ice advantage for a 7-game series.
That would be unreal.
If only the fans could show up, that would be amazing. also, Vinny, you gave me this little piece of information before I went on air. The return to play phase 3 and 4 protocols have been finalized, according to Bob McKenzie. And then, Jager, you actually had a little piece about that. What were you saying?
Yeah. So basically what it says is the teams have their own private doctors and whatever you want to call them, infectious disease consultants. That if someone on the team has a very high risk of having life-altering problems because of the COVID-19, then they will not be allowed to participate in phase 3 or 4. So it sucks to say, but the first person that comes to mind is Max Domi, given that he has type 1 diabetes. And I think he had voiced his concern a little bit online at some point about that. But yeah. I think it's good that the NHL is stepping in and saying, I've been dumb playing through injuries before too. So I'm sure guys that want to play, especially guys on teams that have a shot of winning the cup, and that would push that little extra that might, cause them and their family harm. I think it's good that the NHL's putting that in place, and hopefully, I know they said they had the option for a second opinion, but hopefully
it doesn't get to that
one of those things. Yeah, hopefully there's very few instances where this needs to happen, and if it is, it's someone no offense to Mac Domi, but Montreal's probably not going to win the Stanley Cup, so
yeah,
it's not going to be a huge thing. So.
Yeah, it's
absolutely. We can all agree on that.
And also, Anthony, I don't know if you had it in your news notes, but Toronto was also chosen as the other hub city. Edmonton and Toronto are the two hub cities. That's done deal.
I didn't have that.
Yeah, I didn't know if you did. You mentioned Edmonton, but Toronto also is named the other hub city for the two locations.
Gotcha. Yeah, what I do is before the shows, I check on the complete hockey news.
Yeah.
And I see what news there is that one is confirmed and not just reported, or they're getting close to this or that. And what it has to do with actual hockey.
Yeah, there's just so much going on. Like, we've done so many shows in the past where this has been talked about. We never really brought it up because you're going to get that from everywhere else. Everyone's going to talk about that. It's not really hockey. It's obviously kind of hockey related, but it's not. It's not what we need to talk about. Thanks for muting yourself on that sneeze, buddy. I appreciate that.
I'm a pro, buddy.
I appreciate that. Is that all your news and notes, though?
That was it. That's the only thing
You're forgetting the biggest thing is the NHL draft lottery. The NHL draft lottery happened last week, and the eight through two has been decided, and it's the Buffalo Sabres at 8, the New Jersey Devils at 7, the Anaheim Ducks at 6, the Ottawa Senators at 5, the Detroit Red Wings at 4, the Ottawa Senators again at 3, and the Los Angeles Kings at 2, and the number one pick is going to go to a team that is currently in the play-in round of the playoffs. So
that's a Vince McMahon style swerve.
So basically, I believe, if I remember this correctly, that each team who gets eliminated has a 12.5% chance of getting first overall once they get eliminated. And I just have to. That could end the news and notes, and I can get into this here real quick. First of all, the draft lottery is a joke. Any draft lot, dude? No.
All right, well, here. I have my statement.
No, I want to hear this statement because I've been record on this show many of times ripping the fact that the draft lottery in the NBA and this is just trash. It's filth.
Better than tanking.
It is better than tanking, but I mean, come on.
So there you go. So here you go. 2017, I believe. Don't quote me on the year. Philadelphia, New Jersey, and who was number three picked that year? I can't remember who number three was. We're all projected in the bottom half of that lottery. Colorado was supposed to pick number one. That was the year they won 22 games, I think. And I'm sorry, but Nico Hischier, Nolan Patrick for Philly, and I don't remember who number three was off the top of my head, are a hell of a lot worse than Cale Makar at number four. So you might get lucky.
Yeah, but that is beside the point. That the fact that the worst team in the league should be getting the first overall. It is an embarrassment. The Detroit Red Wings.
If they should be getting the first overall pick, then they should not be doing the draft lottery. It should go by standing. That's the whole point of the draft lottery.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's to allow teams to not tank and have the ability to get it.
But that's the thing. I don't like the tanking idea, and there's always that question if a team is tanking or not. I'd rather take that chance because the worst team needs the best pick.
Yeah, because there should be that way, but
because there is no way that in this I feel like this draft. I feel like this draft.
Let me interject real quick. The Dallas Stars chose third. They picked Miro Heiskanen.
Heiskanen's a good player.
Another good player, but not better than Makar.
And then number four,
was Cale Makar.
And then I'm pretty sure Vancouver was projected in the top three, and then they picked, I want to say, six or seven, and they got Elias Pettersson. So
yeah, they got five.
Obviously, anything could happen, and you could land a stud at four. But the point being is that who was the worst team in the NHL this season? It's not even close that the Detroit Red Wings were the worst team in the league this season. And now they're picking at fourth.
Had them tanking hard.
This year in general should show that the draft lottery is the biggest joke in all of sports, because the fact that a team who's in the play-in round, who's the best team of the play-in teams?
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
So if Pittsburgh gets beat somehow in a best of five series, they could end up with the first overall pick. Now, how fair would that be?
You guys can kiss my ring.
How fair would that be? Alex Lafreniere, and that's how you pronounce his name,
Lafreniere.
So, no, but there is no possible way that is fair that him and Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin should be on the same team together over what Detroit has over there in that shit-infested town.
Okay. Calm down.
Relax. I lived there for a couple years. Not that bad.
Calm down.
Hot takes.
Listen.
You want Mingo to come on this podcast? Don't shit on Detroit.
I do. Maybe that'll get him on the show.
Listen, you're getting yourself a lot of heat over there. At the beginning of this conversation, I agreed with you, Vinny, that the draft lottery is a bit of a joke. And then, Travis, you said something along the lines of it kind of deters teams from tanking because you're not guaranteed any number one. And I think that right there has completely changed my mind on this whole situation. That's awesome. This one thing, it's like, okay, well, you can tank, but it's not going to guarantee anything, so don't fucking tank.
The only way to change it is to up the percentage for that team.
Yeah, to me, that's
fine. There's got to be something that fixes the lottery.
Because of that.
So, I mean, it's still, even if you get a 20% chance of getting it, that's 80% chance you don't get it. So it's a very, very skewed This is what you guys need to do after. Here's your homework. Go on YouTube and watch the 20-minute TSN thing called Playing to Lose. It's about how Pittsburgh literally took, like, guys that were established NHL players and scratched them to play guys that are American League guys who they wanted to see because they needed to lose, like, 14 of the last 15 games. And they were losing games like 10-2 in order to get Lemieux. And to be honest with you, like, yeah, tanking sucks, but I probably wouldn't be playing hockey if it wasn't for that. Because if Lemieux didn't come to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh hockey doesn't blow up. I don't like tanking. I don't agree with it. But nowadays in the NHL with guys that are, I'm guessing, are more like-minded like us, like, you don't want to tank. You don't want to lose. Like, no one's going to sit there and say, like, I'm going to play like crap tonight. Especially guys, look at how many guys on each team are in contract years.
Well, that's the thing.
No matter what team they're on. I would be more leaning to tanking, toward the tanking.
That is 100% why I think that you need to just go. We need to go to an actual draft by standings. That's how we do. That's how we do our draft, because these guys, I feel like this is a little different than like what football has. Like what you said earlier with the players. In football, you have coaches calling the plays. You have the coaches running the systems, and they could easily just give you the shittiest plays after shittiest plays, and you could blow it. You could blow it. And it doesn't matter because the coaches are going to be there, but the player, it matters to the players. In hockey, these players go out on the ice every single game. There's no drawn plays. It's, hey, let's go score goals. Let's go win hockey games. That's what it is. So it's like, take that risk. Take that risk of allowing teams to tank, because there's so many. There's how many guys? 23 guys on a team, on a roster, on the main roster, that have to play for their job, that are playing for their jobs in some form or some way or another. So allow for tanking to be a question in this situation, because teams like Detroit should have the first overall pick over a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's a joke. It is a joke. Sorry. That's news and notes from around the league. It is now time for our starts, sits, and call-ups. Anthony, you were the judge on that last impromptu debate segment. Anthony, I'll let you go first for starts, sits, call-ups.
Absolutely. I am going to begin with my call-up. Something I'm very excited about. We were just talking about how we don't like to show the Flyers a lot of love, but this goes beyond that, beyond hockey. Oscar Lindblom rang the bell for his last chemo treatment just a week after he rejoined his team on the ice. So kudos to him. Hope to see him back on the ice full time, make a full recovery. I really don't know the road to recovery after chemotherapy, what he's up against, but hopefully we see him back on the ice. Hopefully we see him remain healthy. So that was really great, really heartwarming to see the video of that. Loved it. I'm going to go to my sit. This one's kind of to me, it's a little funny. Maybe some other people might take it kind of serious. Did you guys hear about Jake Virtanen?
No, it happened.
He was caught at a nightclub with, like, no mask, like, dancing up on girls, like, completely, like, not social distancing. So, like, Vancouver comes out and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna discipline Jake Virtanen. Like, this is unacceptable." Yada yada. So I'm like, "You idiot!
We're gonna put him in timeout for 14 days. It's called quarantine."
Yeah. So like they're all pissed off at him. I thought it was kind of funny. It's a young guy being young and dumb. It is what it is.
Like Ezekiel Elliott in football.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just like, you're being stupid. Like, you need a little slap on the wrist, but you know, just kind of a funny
situation.
Kind of a dumb, silly sit this week. Just a young guy being young and dumb. Let me go to my start here. My start is July 1st bonuses. I came across this little tweet. So July 1st, I won't get into all top 16 bonuses that I read. I'll just get into like the top few here. Austin Matthews, $15.2 million. Mitch Marner, $14.3 million. And Connor McDavid, $13 million. and our boy Artemi Panarin with $12 million.
There he is. There he is.
Good for them for getting their money.
How about that, by the way? Artemi Panarin, best free agent signing of the season, by the way. Just letting you guys know. Fact.
He might be the best NHL player in the history of the game.
Yeah, top notch right there. Move aside Gretzky.
He'll be in the top 100.
I'm just kidding.
Move aside Gretzky. Artemi Panarin's coming in.
He's been stellar this year.
I do have to say I like his take calling out the owners on escrow. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Him, but elaborate.
There's a tweet. I don't have it offhand, but there's a tweet that him and his agent put up. I'll see if I can find it real quick. Basically saying what we were talking about pre-show, that the owners are really pushing to play because they want their money.
Yeah, good for him standing up for what's right.
I think I read something to the fact of like 70-something percent of the NHL doesn't want to play because they're worried about their own health and stuff like that. So why can't I find it?
I don't know if you guys saw this, but like the NBA, the NBA came out and did something. I don't know if the NHL has done this or if it's been approved or whatever, but the NBA actually made like an insurance policy for their players that if any lifelong injuries or sicknesses or anything comes of this, like while they're playing, like from COVID, then they're like fully insured by the NBA to take care of them basically for the rest of their life. Like
that's good.
Yeah, so I don't know if the NHL has done that. I'm not gonna say the NHL is shit for not doing that because I don't know, but I feel like they need to take notes.
They still have to. This is where I have the tweet here or his like little thing. It has to do with they haven't agreed with the CBA yet. It said, "I'm very much looking forward to the playoffs with New York Rangers. I have concerns not only about the health of the players and their families, but also the long-term prosperity of the NHL. For nearly two decades, the players have protected the owners' income with escrow, including." Throughout this pandemic crisis, even as owners' equity comes to grow exponentially, it is time to fix the escrow. We as players cannot report to camp to resume play without already having an agreement in place. We are all in this together. Also, I know the process for the selection of the hub cities is ongoing. I sincerely wish that my teammates and I could train and play games at MSG and bring
I love New York.
Economic, pretty much. Yeah. But
yeah, basketball rules.
So good for him to come out and say, the owners are scumbags and they're trying to take all the money.
Yeah,
so.
Call them out.
100%. 100%. So, Anthony, I believe you have a start left?
No, that was the bonuses.
Yeah, the bonuses.
After all the players
start,
are getting their money. Getting paid.
Can't do that. Yeah, can't say that. Can't say it like that. Not allowed. Jeeker, what about you? What are you doing with your start, your sit, and your call-up?
Okay, we'll go start first. We'll go in order.
He's loading up.
Oh, I got the thing here. I saw a tweet today, and it was from 1990. Speaking of salaries and starts, the top five centers, the bottom five. I'm sorry, top five players, bottom five players, top goalies, top defense, and top Europeans. This is a salary back in 1990. Top five salaries in the NHL: Mario Lemieux, $2 million. Wayne Gretzky, $1.7 million. Dave Taylor, $900,000. Mark Messier, they say $1.03 million, but it's Canadian, so it probably was a lot less. That's why it's in order. Steve Yzerman, $700,000. So only, 30 years ago, the minimum salary was like a top five salary. The league minimum salary right now is a top five salary.
It's wild.
The bottom five salaries, one of these names you guys should recognize. Doug Wickenheiser, $25,000 in the United States. Sergei Milinkov, some Russian guy, 50,000 Canadian. Number three, Miroslav Horova, in Czech, 50,000 US. Alan May, 50,000 US. This is the name you should recognize. Ron Tugnutt, $85,000 Canadian. Was the fifth worst contract in the NHL.
Who?
Goalie, I know.
I'm not that bright. Who's Ron Tugnutt?
You don't know who Ron Tugnutt is?
Nah, I'm not.
Oh, he played for the center. He played for the goalie. Your boy had the fourth highest salary. John Van Breesburg, fourth highest salary for a goaltender. You want to take a guess as to what it was?
The Beezer.
Fourth most paid goalie in 1990.
And what was the highest contract again?
During $2 million. During that time, I'm thinking it was like $700,000.
I was about to say like probably like $450,000.
Lower.
$350,000. Oh.
Price is right. Ding, 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 ding. I win the car.
So I think that's cool.
That's crazy.
It's wild. And like it's just crazy to see like how much the game's grown and how much The reason I saw it was a tweet between Shanahan and Sean Burke, and it was like Shanahan's salary was like 100. I don't have it on. I didn't save that part of the picture. But it was like Shanahan's salary was like 110,000, and like Sean Burke's salary was like 210,000. And Shanahan chirped back at him, being like, "You should have paid for more dinners or something like that." And Sean Burke, being funny, was like, "Career earnings, Brendan Shanahan, $66 million." Sean Burke career earnings $20 million. I'll pay for more dinner if you buy something like that. So I thought it was funny.
Fantastic.
My sit is the NHL's handling of the COVID situation. Ooh. Another city bites the dust in St. Louis. Guys are testing positive. I'm not going to get into my beliefs on all the COVID and what I stand on it, because it might piss people off and it might make people happy, but the NHL needs to stop pissing around and either make a decision one way or another that the season's going to happen, the season's not going to happen, and the way they handle things needs to be a little bit more clear and a little bit better. They don't say – I know it's against HIPAA and all that stuff, but you have the ability to release the rights. You don't say who it is. You don't say if it was asymptomatic or not. I know the reason I know that is because the Pirates had two guys that came out today and said they had COVID, but they gave the team doctors the okay to say it was me who has COVID. And they didn't say asymptomatic or not, but something like that. I think they need to either report the whole story or
not at all.
Yeah. Not at all. And just say like these, okay, especially now, like, I think training camp, like phase three, is supposed to start in another month or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's
who cares if they have it or not? In 2 weeks, they're supposed to be tested negative, like all that stuff. Let them quarantine it out. So they need to stop making a big deal out of it and either say, this is how it's going to happen, or shut it down. Because I read another tweet that said something like, they're planning on starting next season in late December, early January, and fitting 82 games in that time. It's just screwing everything up. I don't need to get on a tangent about it.
I don't think that I'm a little confused. Not to get into this, but like, not like confused, but it's like,
no, you're
if
confused.
someone gets it and he's been around the team for so long, he's been around say Pittsburgh makes it out of round one and they go into round two and they find out Chris Letang has it, and God forbid, and now everyone else has been around him. It's like, what happens? Does the entire team?
So that's the thing. That's the thing, though. So they're saying that, they've already tested all these guys so many damn times, but they're supposed to. I don't know how this is going to work, because they say they're going to be in this bubble and no one's going to be allowed in except for like cooking staff.
I just saw too that coaches aren't going to be required to wear masks on the bench. I don't know if that matters at all, but that's also the report that just came through.
I'm not going to get into it, because I could blow up about this, the media and the way this is handled, and just all aspects of life, not even standing still.
So who are you calling up?
I think we can all agree on that one.
Yeah. My call up, hi bub. Hello. My call
Doggo
up
appearance.
Is a good friend of mine and a current St. Louis Blues, Zach Sanford. I saw a tweet, the NHL, again, it's a tough time right now. They're just pushing content to get pushing content.
Yeah.
And they said it was an Instagram post by the NHL that said this season guys would have had 4 goals in a game. There's only 7 of them. And this is the names. So these are all guys who put the puck in the net. Mika Zibanejad, Leon Draisaitl, Jack Eichel, David Pastrnak, James Neal, Anthony Mantha, and your boy Zach Sanford. Zach Sanford had 4 goals in February. I remember watching that game. I'm calling him up because I think he deserves a lot more credit and a lot more exposure than what he gets. He plays on a line with Perron and O'Reilly in St. Louis, and
he was good. He was good on their playoff run.
He had his ups and downs in the playoff run. He ended up making it back in the lineup in the Cup final there. And I mean, I've known this kid since I was a freshman in college, and I knew from the day I saw this kid he was going to be an NHL player. He's big. He's fast. He's got an unreal shot. He's got some silky mitts on him. He works his bag off. So for me, I'm just playing with him in college, playing with him before college, just kind of seeing where he's grown to and to where he's at now in a critical role in St. Louis. And I mean, to look at what he was doing, unfortunately, with everything that got shut down, he would have had 20 goals this year as a guy on a minimal salary and no power play time or very limited power play time. He might play on their second power play, but I mean, to look at his stats from last year to this year, he had 8 goals and 12 assists last year in 60 games. This year in 60 games, he had 16 and 14. So I'm really happy for the kid. He's a real down to earth kid. He's been through a lot personally and stuff like that with injuries and some family issues and stuff over his NHL career. And to see, to kind of see that, I actually sent him the Instagram post and was like, not bad company to be in. So just to see how far he's come and to get a little recognition there with some big name guys, that one made me smile a little bit. Just really happy for him. So that's my call. A lot of people should take a look at that kid, Zach Sanford.
One of the things I took away from that is that we need to be having you be hired on the NHL staffs for the scouting department. That's what I got right there. That's what I got out of that one.
Also, Zach Sanford was he was part of that practice fight seen around the world.
Yep,
that was.
He's been through a lot. He's part of the Shattenkirk trade too. He was one of the integral pieces of the Shattenkirk trade that people didn't really think of when he went to Washington.
Oh wow, yeah, I didn't know that.
Who did he fight? Bertuzzo, you know.
Bertuzzo,
yeah. Bertuzzo.
We're gonna get a cease and desist. You gotta stop.
Sidebar. I don't get this. I was told when we first started the show, hey, you can't be using other people's music to intro your show or do whatever the hell you want with other people's music. And I've seen a ton of big time shows, not to name a few names, but
do they pay for it though?
I don't know about that, man. There's I don't no know, man. There's yeah, I don't know how that works.
To do it.
They have so the, many
the same. Okay.
This I can believe Chicklets because they're through Barstool, and I'm sure they have.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, pending things out there.
But that's what I'm saying, though. With like, even with Barstool, they pay all of these artists for their song, like, because it's all older songs.
Yeah, they probably have like a one time like $1 million, like this is what you get kind of thing.
Fine.
Yeah, you pay for things like that. Like if you go into a bar that's playing music, they're supposed to be paying for the rights to be playing that music. It's not just supposed to be like, oh, let's throw on the radio. Like things like that are supposed to be paid for.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like our intro
you're
better.
You're supposed to play up other people's music without their permission.
I like our intro better featuring Kevin Weeks,
okay? It's also the dumbest thing in the world because I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere that you're not allowed to, the restaurants that you're not allowed to sing happy birthday in restaurants because it's technically a violation.
Exactly.
That's why all those dumb restaurants have like, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happy birthday exactly. Because Michael Jackson's a state-owned happy birthday and they have to pay him every time they sing it. That's it.
What?
Yeah, it's trademark.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
The more you know.
The more you know.
I'll just write guitar intros for us and we can just play those.
You know, when we first started the show, I asked Anthony to do that. And, well, you know, it's just like the password for Twitter. It hasn't happened yet.
It's not here yet.
Anthony is like, Anthony loves playing guitar, and I asked Anthony for guitar riffs for the intro to the show. I had to go look at like find like not trademarked copyright all that stuff, all that kind of music to find, and that's what I got. And Anthony still has yet to.
You play guitar?
Yeah.
Anthony was in a band. Two bands.
I've been in several bands.
A lot of shitty bands.
A lot of terrible bands.
We gotta stop. This is a post podcast discussion.
Nonsense. Nonsense.
This could be an hour and a half. This could be an hour and a half.
So it is now time for my start sits call ups, and I'm starting the NHL and the Olympics because there have been reports during this whole contract, the COVID comeback, all the CBA talks. In the CBA talks, has mentioned the Olympics and the NHL players returning to the Olympics, and it seems like it's getting closer and closer. I have a tweet here from Greg Wisniewski from ESPN. He says, as you've heard, Olympic participation for 2022 and 2026 in the NHL CBA is pending IOC negotiations, but that participation is not part of a larger international calendar. So we might not hear it from this, but it is being talked about and discussed that the NHL is trying to get the players back into the Olympics, and I love that. I
want to
see that. That's what I want to see. I was just looking at it the other day.
See the best against the best.
I saw the other day.
You don't want to see Ryan Zapolsky in net for Team USA. No offense to Ryan Zapolsky. He's an absolute pro, plays in Russia. He's a professional goaltender. That's amazing in its own right. But that's not who I want to see representing our country in the Olympics.
See, although this could be a very hot take, I did enjoy seeing
all the minor league guys.
Time guys.
Jordan Greenway was nice to see. Like,
no, I'm not even that. I'm talking guys like My personal favorite, I've skated with him in Boston at Breakaway Ice Center, is Brock Little.
The Bic.
The Bic. Brock Little, he plays in like Switzerland and
I remember
Sweden for, yeah. He's a,
Brock
he
Little played
Yale.
In the NHL, right?
No, never played. Never no, played he could never make it out.
Are you thinking of like Brock McGinn or Brian?
I'm
Little?
Thinking of someone. The name sounds familiar.
Brock Little put up 40 plus points all 4 years in his career at Yale. He went over to those leagues and was just – he tore it up over there. But he – it's just cool to see the guys like that. That kid – he's a guy. I mean, he's older. But, I mean, he's the most – one of the most skilled players I've ever been on the ice with. So to be able to see him represent the U.S. is pretty cool.
If that doesn't – if the NHL cool. players can't go and they're not allowed to go, to me personally, I would much rather see, like – I don't know how it would work with – like I don't know how they made it work back then, but I would love to see, like – bring back the college kids, make it a college thing. I'd enjoy seeing that.
Just make it an SPHL thing. I'll come out.
Oh, dude, that'd be unreal. That would be pretty difficult for like the U.S. the college kids from the U.S. being able to compete with like.
So that's the thing. So here
you're playing with pros.
I don't know. I could be a little bit off, but. The reason I think the way it worked back in the 80s was they took a whole year off. That's how it is for women. And the reason I know that was because Alex Carpenter.
Yeah.
She played at BC and she was a year ahead of me. She would have been a sophomore my freshman year. And then she went to the Olympics. What was that? 2014.
Yeah.
And then she ended up graduating in my year. So they take a complete year off. Mm. So that would – I don't think that would work because of the amount of college guys. If you went strictly college, like college hockey wouldn't be as good, and especially because a lot of the guys that are in college would be like – imagine if you just took Turcotte and what's-his-face
off man.
Of Wisco, like how bad they were this year. They would be terrible.
Dude, that
so
would
I don't
be...
think it would ever work like that. I think they could make it work if they really tried with like just the amount of Euro guys and like they could even make it work with guys just on American League contracts. Like from experience, I've known that like some guys won't, unless they are like guaranteed to get games in the NHL, a lot of guys that are kind of in their back half of their career, like 27, 28, 30, will take American League deals because they'll make more money.
Yeah.
If they're not guaranteed to get a call up. So like guys like that, like what's his face went to the Olympics, Bork.
Yeah.
Chris Bork or Ryan.
Yeah.
Like guys like that, like guys. Could
former New York Ranger, Chris Bork.
There you go. So like guys like that, they could definitely make I don't want to say a winning team, but a competitive team. So it'd be interesting to see, that's for sure. But yeah, obviously we all want to see the NHL guys.
Yeah, that's – I mean,
most exciting.
I literally saw the – obviously the 4th of July. It was yesterday, and we can get into our favorite U.S.-born players if we wanted to eventually. Mm. But – I saw a picture of like the best goalies that have played like under like a U.S. sweater, and they showed Jonathan Quick in the World Championship, and I was like, man, I would love to see the World Championship again too. That was so much fun to be
Team
able to
North
see
America.
Team North America. Imagine
yeah.
that, dude. That'd be
that
so sick. That was so
that was
much fun to see. Although Team USA was bad, very, very bad. I'm not sure how John Tortorella constructed that roster, or why. I guess I know why John Tortorella constructed his roster the way he did.
Who's
with all
the toughest guys
that's
I can
basically
find
what he
on
did.
The ice?
That's basically what he did. Ryan Callahan had no business being on that team. Okay, Ryan Callahan had no business being on the top line of that team. Yeah. Okay, maybe on the team, but no
good
business
times.
Being in, like on the top line for that team. And
good times.
All the
that's
all
like
the,
Chris Kunitz being on the top line of the Canadian team.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Offense to Chris Kunitz,
exactly.
But.
Exactly. So it was like, man, that would be a lot of fun. I really want to see that. I'm sitting. I'm moving on to my sit, and we talked about it earlier, so I guess I'm not going to dive into it too much. But I'm sitting the draft lottery. There's no reason why the Detroit Red Wings should be picking fourth and not first. We don't have to get into it again, but that's my sit, and I'm going on to my call up. And I'm calling up the Arizona Coyotes, and I'm not calling up your middle finger there, buddy. Although that could be great for me later on.
I put that there just so you have to blur it out.
No, I'm not. Oh yeah, I put your little dumb bald head on it, and it works.
Yeah,
And thumbnail.
Yeah, there you go. Like in the intro. Yeah, intro.
Yeah, mark that time down so you know when.
Shout out to the Patreon, patreon.com/powerplaypod, where you can see the videos of the show.
Yeah, if you're watching this, thank you for subscribing.
Yeah, there you go. So no, I'm going on to my call up, and I'm calling up the Arizona Coyotes. Obviously, we don't have a lot of hockey talk going on, but I'm looking through everything. I'm looking through all the news, and I'm thinking to myself, man, it's going to be so much fun to see the Arizona Coyotes back. Like in the playoffs, Arizona Coyotes playoff hockey. It's going to be so much fun to watch. They've got Taylor Hall, maybe if they have him after this, but it's going to be a lot of fun watching Taylor Hall, Phil Kessel. I read a quote from Phil Kessel earlier today that said, "I'm ready to go. Like I'm ready. I'm ready to play. I want to play. I want to get on the ice and let's go. I'm in shape," is what he said. And I'm like, "Whoa, that might be a stretch." But I'm just excited. I'm excited to see the Arizona
Coyotes. Who do you think is more in shape, Pablo Sandoval or Phil Kessel?
Oh, Phil Kessel, 100%.
Did you see that picture?
I didn't, but I know Pablo Sandoval is a big dude.
Go after this. Go look at Barstool's picture of Pablo Sandoval in training camp today. It might be one of the funniest things.
Is it very flattering?
Dude, he probably weighs like 325.
Pablo, okay, all right. Go to the baseball.
I'll see if I can pull it up. That guy's an absolute unit.
We go to the diamond, Prince Fielder or Pablo Sandoval?
Prince Fielder.
Not in skill level, but like in like the chunk. Yeah, he was a big in the chunk, not in skill. Obviously, Prince Fielder like by a mile.
Don't forget my boy Bartolo Colon.
Oh, Mister Dude, the goat, goat, buddy.
He is the goat.
He is the man.
One of my favorites. We don't need all-time favorites.
We don't need to get into a baseball podcast here. Let's move on here. Anthony, it is now time. That was our start sits call ups. Anthony, it is now time for that brief moment where you get all of the time to yourself. And it's time for setup of the week.
Let's do it. I have a very interesting setup of the week this week. I've actually had this in my files for a while, but I've been saving it. I just kept on getting other things. I just kind of wanted to.
What were you saving it
for,
bud?
Rainy day.
It's not raining outside. Is it?
Not anymore, but it was. So, without further ado, the New Mexico Ice Wolves of the NAHL.
No.
And this kid is also committed to Union College.
We don't.
Okay, his name is Josh Graziano, and he's got this unreal Bauer 2X setup. And it's okay. First of all, those are the everyone like
Anthony.
Look there.
Well, it's the video. If it's
there.
A video, I'm going to put it up on the video. Okay,
all right, there we
I
go.
Promise.
Look at that. That's like a nasty setup, though.
Anthony, look below you. Look below you.
It would almost be
look
cool
below you. Look
a,
below you.
Is that it right there?
It's right there.
So everyone, check that out. You can see the awesome pattern. It's almost like a maybe like a Sun Devils or like a Coyotes like throwback look. But the colors are awesome. You don't see that yellow and blue together very much. I think it's super cool, super awesome. Yet another awesome Bauer setup. And if you zoom in on the stick there and take a look, it's an awesome color combination for the stick that you don't really see. It's not like matchy-matchy with the pads. It's very unique, very cool. I like it.
Are you going to post this to Twitter?
I'm gonna finally get the login and send it to Jake, or he's gonna post it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, buddy.
Just a quick sidebar.
Oh,
oh my.
Looking good.
Wow. I don't need to put that one up on the screen. I don't need to put that one up. Yeah, that is that's a tank right there, boys.
That hot dog eating contest. See what it beat.
Dude, Joey Chestnut, man. 75 hot dogs, dude? That guy's
75 hot
unreal.
Dogs in 13 minutes. That should have been
unreal.
My start.
That's real.
What's amazing
Chestnut.
Is this guy is like, he's the thinnest guy you'll ever see. He's probably like 100 pounds.
Joey, yeah.
Do you see the female one, like her eighth in a row or something like that? I think she put away like 53 hot dogs.
She's small too.
You guys ever watch?
Yeah, she's real tiny.
You guys ever watch the, like, they had, like ESPN, I think, had a documentary on what it takes to go into like an eating competition. And like there was a dude, I think it was MTV did it, where it was like basically they followed around people who did like eating competitions, and some dude was like in an eating competition for spicy food, and like that's what he housed, like that's what he took down. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, that there's no way. If I'm ever getting in
your insides.
Sidebar, Anthony, if you were to get into an eating competition, what would it be? What food would it be that you want to get into?
It would be pizza. I could eat more pizza than any other food.
Fair enough. Jigger, what about
if
you?
If I'm at my hungriest, I could eat an entire pie by myself.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's cute.
Oh.
Oh.
Mr. Retired Guy can now eat whatever the hell he wants over here, and he can eat a whole, like, three slices,
down,
three boxes of pizza.
No, no, no. That was actually before my pro days. It was when I was in high school. But I put away a pizza and a half.
Oof.
But
that's impressive.
He's a growing boy.
I was actually telling the story to somebody. My neighbor, he's like a little brother to me. He's like 18 now, I think. But he was my neighbor here in Pittsburgh. And he was probably 7 and I was probably 14, something to the effect of that. And I babysat him, and his mom bought us two pizzas, and he had half his pizza, and I ate the rest.
That's awesome.
No, for me, in like an eating thing, it would be chicken wing without question. Ooh. I put away. It was the year I was in Jacksonville. I went back to Fayetteville for like 2 weeks to get games before playoffs, in case we made playoffs. And I went at what the kid that I ended up living with in Fayetteville was. He lived across the hall from me at prep school. He was my roommate when I went back, so we were pretty tight, and we went to. All you can air is like an all you can eat wing night at the local bar, and I put away 53 wings.
Oof, oof. What's your go-to? What's your go-to
that's
flavor?
That's contest worthy right there.
So it depends. I mean, it depends. Like, if I'm trying to put away a lot of wings, it'd be like a buffalo, or I really like a lot of places have like a sweet and spicy one.
Yeah.
There was one we went to Hooters this year, and they had all you
can eat.
It was like Chipotle. No, it was actually a lot better than previous years, but it was like Chipotle honey or something like that.
Huh.
And those type of things are really good. Not where it's not like thick sauce, but it's got a little bit of everything.
I'm a big honey barbecue guy. Okay. Honey barbecue,
yeah,
parm garlic. Those are my go-tos.
Basic. Yeah. That's basic, but
yeah, I'm a basic bitch over here. Okay. I'm a basic
bitch.
Well,
we have a place. I'm sure you actually, they're in Florida. So you guys might have seen it's called Quaker Steak and Lube. It's a Pittsburgh based place, but they are expanded out. They have Wednesday. It's like all you can eat wings Tuesday or something like that. But they have like 40 something flavors, and it's pretty wild. So
yeah.
I might just go if I didn't have softball game Tuesday. I might just go to the wing night.
Making me want some damn wings. Okay, let's.
I'm hungry.
Now that I've completely turned this into a food conversation, we now move on to our main event of the evening. We are now previewing the New York Rangers versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, man. This is the series I've been waiting for, okay? Just because of the Rangers. And this is where we're obviously going to talk about it. But I don't think this is I feel like this isn't a biased take. This is the most exciting series of the playoffs. Calling it right now, this will be the most entertaining series of the playoffs. I'll start off with you, Jaker. You will get the Carolina Hurricanes. So actually, let's flip the script. Jaker, you're going to get the New York Rangers. What do the New York Rangers have to do to defeat the Carolina Hurricanes?
Play structured. They need to play fast, and they need to take advantage of. I don't want to say the bad goalie situation in Carolina, but the lack of experience goalie situation.
Oh yeah,
in Carolina.
100%.
I think they need to use. Their big guns need to be big guns. I need Kreider to be the Chris Kreider that we know. Obviously, Panarin to be Panarin. And then, yeah, I mean, it comes down to – I think it's going to come down to the young studs. I think you're going to need to see guys like D'Angelo and Fox and Buchnevich, and maybe it's going to be about time for Kaapo Kakko to get his head out of his ass and play hockey in the NHL.
I would love that for that to happen.
I think he honestly is the X factor in this series because – if he turns it up and turns out to be the player that everyone expected him to be, I mean, from what everyone expected, he was supposed to be like a hell of a player out there.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the pro ready player out of him and Jack Hughes. And he was supposed to be the pro ready player, and he wasn't.
And I watched games with my roommate who was a Ranger fan, and I was very, very disappointed in the way he played. So,
agreed.
I think, like I said, I think their big guns need to be their big guns. I think Carolina – no, I can't talk about Carolina because I have the Rangers, but I think they just need to – I think they need to pinpoint the weaknesses of Carolina, take advantage of them, and pinpoint the strengths of Carolina, that being Dougie Hamilton coming back. And
yeah, that's – is Hamilton going to be back?
He broke his leg. He'll be back?
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back 100%.
That's a game changer.
Are you sure about that?
I thought – I had a penciled in his album.
I think I'm 99% sure he'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah.
He only played 40 games, so like he missed half the season before this got shut down. So yeah, he'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, this says right. Yep, says it right here. Carolina GM Don Waddell. Waddell. Sorry. Said on Thursday that Dougie Hamilton. It's Waddell. I'm pretty sure it's Waddell.
It is Waddell, dumbass.
Yeah. So he said on Thursday that Dougie Hamilton will be available if the 2019-2020 season resumes play. It's all based on him, but 100% he'll be back. Got it. Done deal. Yeah. Damn it. That's not good. Anthony, what do the Carolina Hurricanes need to do to defeat our beloved New York Rangers?
Much like what Travis said about the Rangers, the Hurricanes need to play to their strengths, which I think is their defense. They have a pretty solid defense. I like Jacob Slavin, Joel Edmondson, who has cup experience.
Yeah, there it is.
That helps. And if Dougie Hamilton's coming back, like we talked about earlier on the show, that's huge. Getting solid D play and scoring from the back end.
Are you forgetting one Brady Shea?
Brady, that's an S, K, and a J, so that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Now it's a no for us because he's not on the Rangers, okay?
If he can get rolling, chipping offensively, that's great. I think defensively, he is soft, and he's not going to be the shutdown D-man for Carolina because he was never that for the Rangers.
I can't say that. I think he was.
He's soft as baby shit.
I second
but
that a lot.
But he's fast and he's skilled, but he's soft as baby shit.
It breaks my heart.
I don't think he's skilled. You wanted me to take a hot take right now? I think he is a very comparable defenseman to Ryan Whitney. He's not overly skilled.
Whoa.
He's can move the puck. He can skate.
Talk about a first-round pick here.
Was Ryan Whitney not a first-round pick?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Brady Shea was a first-round pick too.
Was Shea a first-round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like 29th
yeah.
or 30th.
Gotcha,
yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm just thinking.
I'm just thinking of like, he's not an offensive defenseman.
He's nothing.
Whitney was an offensive defenseman because he played with Sidney Crosby. No offense to him.
Secondary assist.
But like
he got so many assists sitting on the bench.
It's just a very comparable. Like, they're very. It's not physical. I mean, Brady Shea could. He's not the biggest physical guy, but he moves the puck. He skates well, and I mean,
that's more of the skill I was talking to. Is like he can move the puck.
Yeah.
Get it where it needs
but
to go.
He's just a very. He's the epitome of a two-way defenseman.
And we have Adam Fox now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's a good.
No, I think you have D'Angelo now, so it doesn't matter. But
yeah, I think the Rangers' defense is probably better than it's been. I don't think it's great, but it's better than it's been in recent years. So that's good for them. But going back to Carolina, goaltending is a huge question mark. They're gonna need Mrazek to be healthy because he's either getting a concussion or he's tweaking something in his ankle. He's always getting hurt.
Well, he got dummied by someone. Who did he get dummied by this season? He got dummied by someone. I can't remember who it was.
He played the puck and got dummied.
Yeah, someone crushed him.
I think it was someone from the Blues and it started a melee.
They just ran him over.
Who was it?
Yeah, I'm not 100%.
He just got traded from LA, I think.
Let's see who it is.
From LA?
Was it Clifford? Was it Kyle Clifford?
Yeah, Kyle Clifford. Yep. Kyle Clifford, yep.
He ran him over. That's what I thought. Kyle Clifford ran him over. It looked like an accident, but it was. That's not the first concussion he's had.
It was Toronto, by the way. Toronto. That was the David Ayers game.
Was that the Ayers game?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, because what's his name got hurt also?
Yep. McElhaney's in Tampa right now.
Yeah, so Reimer and Mrazek have both been injury prone.
The Optimus Rhyme.
They haven't been spectacular when they were playing.
Yeah,
so
no.
They're gonna need to step up. The Rangers are a good team offensively. No one can argue that. That is based on this season, they are a good team offensively.
I think
and if you don't have good goaltending to keep you in it when your team is on the penalty kill, to keep you in it in a tight 2-1 game when the Rangers have six guys on the ice, you're not going to win much. So they really need to make sure that they're getting that good goaltending that we saw in flashes last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mrazek had a very good playoffs, and then he got hurt in the middle of one of the second-round games. And ever since he played through it, ever since he got hurt,
he just hasn't been – yeah.
He could – noticeable difference between before and after. So he needs to be that Mrazek that was – that beat the Washington Capitals.
I think something that I have a problem with throughout this entire like lead up, this build to this series, is a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people, and I absolutely hate it. A lot of people are saying that the New York Rangers are this sleeper team that has a chance to beat, to surprise everybody because of how hot they were leading up into this. And I just don't, I hate that. I hate that so much because, like, there's no one that, I don't like to shoot our own horn, but here, but there's not many people on this world, on this planet, that watch and know the Rangers like we do. And we know that this Rangers team has a lot of flaws. And it's being covered right now by Mika Zibanejad scoring five goals.
Artemi
Panarin's high kick and his big contract. It's a lot of, the Rangers are very flashy right now. And I think once you get down, once you kind of peel the curtain back, you see that this Rangers team is not as great as people think they are right now.
No, young and promising right now.
Okay, I should say good as people think right now. And
they're just young and promising.
And I think
people
are sleeping on what they have in Carolina. We talked about before. Yeah. Carolina they believe that they can make a deep run in this. They went out and made moves for they were the most active team at the deadline. Vinny Trocheck, Brady Shea, Sammy Vatanen. They've made a ton of moves to make this team better and to make a great push. They got Rod the Bod behind the bench. I think he could coach circles around David Quinn, by the way.
Agreed.
And
seconded.
I think that plays a huge role in this. I think, like we stated before, goaltending is going to be a huge thing. Whoever the Rangers go with, I think, is going to be better than what they have in Carolina. But I think it's going to be the coaching that shines at the end, and Rod the Bod figures out the Rangers in it's best of five series, right? That's how they're doing it again. Yeah, best of five. And I think the Rangers get swept. I think the Rangers get swept here. And that's my prediction, okay?
I think they're too good to get swept, but I think Carolina's going to beat them.
I think it's going to be in three, and Carolina sweeps the New York Rangers.
Is this a best of five? Is that how it goes?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think in three or four games, Carolina will take care of business.
So if it's three games, it's a sweep.
Four games. I think Rangers will win a game. I don't think they'll go out.
That's not even going to be close.
Really? Whoa. Okay. Hold on here. I don't want to.
What's your take?
It's not even going to be a close series.
What's your take?
Really?
Dude, the Carolina Hurricanes defense is 35 times better than the Rangers defense.
And they can't
even come close to saying it, because half the guys that played or that are on this defense only played either a couple games in Brady Shea or didn't play at all in Vatanen and got hurt. So your starting six are Vatanen, Slavin, Shea, Pecci, Hamilton, and Jake Gardner. Probably Joel Edmondson, maybe not Jake Gardner.
Pecci's hurt right now.
I don't know if he's coming back. Jake Gardner.
He's been hurt.
If Pecci doesn't come back, it's Jake Gardner, Joel Edmondson. So the fact that if Pecci comes back and you're sitting a guy who had 50 points 2 years ago as a defenseman, pretty good. Compared to the Rangers, who, no offense to them, D'Angelo, Young, having a good year. Fox, Young, having a good year. Mark Stahl, old and slow. Brendan Smith, old and slow. Ryan Lindgren, not that great, very young.
Okay.
And Trouba, I think, is an overrated defenseman. So
whoa!
You got two, maybe three guys that are good. And even looking at the forward group.
I was about to say, who's scoring the goals here, though? Who scores the goals for the most part?
For who?
Carolina? I'm just saying, in general, you talk about the fact that the defense, they don't come close. The last time I checked, you have to score goals to win hockey games, and it's most of the time the forwards that score the goals.
Okay, Justin Williams, Vincent Trocheck, Teuvo Teravainen, and Andrei Svechnikov.
Okay, when you put it like that, it's not close. Okay.
Sebastian Aho. Jordan Staal has a Stanley Cup. Compared to, you got Panarin, Kreider.
You do have Panarin.
Zibanejad, there's three guys that will score goals.
I think you're missing. I do think you're still missing people. There's some depth there. There's some depth there, okay?
The Rangers do have some.
Vucinovic is okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Is Brendan Lemieux going to win you a series?
I don't know, man.
Tom Wilson put up 30 goals 1 year. Did Brendan Lemieux do that?
Might also be suspended for the series, by the way. That's a thing.
Brendan Lemieux probably will not play. I do agree 100% that Carolina's defense is superior. I do think the Rangers defense is better this year than it has been in a long time, but the Carolina's defense is shut down. And I'm not saying the Rangers have a good defense this year. I'm just saying it's been so bad for the past 10 years and no one said anything about it because Lundqvist was so hot. So no one cared, but I do think that their defense has improved, but they're very young, inexperienced. This would be a good opportunity for them to get experience, whereas I think Carolina is ready now to win this round and be very competitive going forward.
See, I think the Rangers will do something if they just go out and like not think about things, but I personally don't think it's going to happen.
I think there's more pressure on them right now than there was at the beginning of the season. I think they've earned the right to have people put pressure on them because they've ended the season before everything went to shit. They ended it so well. I think there is a lot of that New York pressure on them now that they weren't facing before. So I think you're right. They're going to be playing with more of that eagle eye on them from the New York fans and from the NHL in general. Well,
what's funny is this entire thing started with me saying the Rangers are going to get swept, and then we got into this. And I was a firm believer that the Rangers are going to get swept by the Carolina Hurricanes. And then Jeker agreed with me and disagreed with you because you thought the Rangers were going to win a game. And like,
I think they'll win a game.
I think
that's a fair expectation.
But as Jeker started going into it, I was like, no, screw that guy. The Rangers are going to win in three. Let's change the whole thing. My Ranger bias popped out because I was like, no, don't be crushing my team like that.
They won't win in three, but they've given Carolina trouble.
They beat them all season. Every game of season, the Rangers
have
won.
That's the only thing that we didn't know.
I do have reason to believe that they'll win a game. I think it's the playoffs, and I know, and we all know, playoffs are a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Altogether, it's wipe the season record clean. The playoffs are different. It's a tighter checking game, lower scoring in most cases. Especially that first game, there's going to be a lot of feeling out. A lot of the first game's going to be like 1-0.
Yeah. 2-1. Or it could be a complete shit show.
And I think that could be the game that the Rangers take. And then after that, it might go south.
It's funny. I was like, all right, let me just deep dive into the Hurricanes and Rangers lineups and going on daily faceoff where they have the most recent line combinations that the Rangers had. Our first line is Mika Zibanejad, Pavel Buchnevich, and Filip DiGiuseppe. And I'm like, God damn it, Filip DiGiuseppe. I can't win an argument with that. No, but Kreider will be back. He'll be that they're going to get that first line back with Kreider.
Yeah,
on it. But
in a way, they're lucky this took so long because Kreider.
Yeah, but what's Carolina's first line?
No, that's actually what I was going to. I want to play the question game here real quick with you. Hold on, Anthony. Hold on. Who's the best player on as a forward for Carolina? Who do you think the best forward on Carolina is? And who do you think the best forward is for the Rangers?
Best forward over
who's better, Panarin or Svechnikov?
Panarin.
Wait, where are you getting Svechnikov? I said Aho.
Oh, you said Aho. Okay, who's better, Panarin or Aho? Either way, Panarin's better than both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that.
Cool.
I would say he's the best player.
Just going down the list. Who do you think's the second best forward for Carolina?
Svechnikov
or Zibanejad?
Zibanejad.
So that's 2-for-2 for the Rangers.
I'm not disagreeing with you. The top three are going to go to the Rangers. At the bottom 12, they're going to go to the Hurricanes.
And you brought up Justin Williams. I mean, Justin Williams isn't that phenomenal. Yeah, he's got the experience.
He's Mr. Clutch.
Last time I checked, we're not playing a seven-game series, so he's not going to
This is a five-game series.
How's he going to score?
This is a five-game series.
Oh, because he's not a Mr. Game 7.
There's no Game 7s here, buddy. There's no Game 7s. But no, we don't know what this Ranger team is capable of.
Vinny Trocheck on the third line, that's pretty decent. second line, but still.
Dude, their third line center is Jordan Staal.
Yeah, Jordan Staal.
He's
got
right.
Jordan Martinuk and Nino Niederreiter.
Niederreiter's, man, I'll give you a hot take. Niederreiter's a good player.
Oh, he's a good player.
If he just needs to play to his potential, he's a first round pick too.
That's like taking
a very good player when he was on the island.
Yeah, he was a first round pick too. Niederreiter was. So he's.
That's one of our mom's favorite players to say his name.
Niederreiter. It's a fun name. It's a great hockey name.
It is. So, yeah. Jeker, you have Canes in three.
Yeah.
Anthony, you have Canes in four, and I have Canes in three well. Yeah. No one has the Rangers winning. That's how I like it. So the Rangers don't have any pressure on them at all, and maybe they can pull it out of their ass, and I can be surprised. That was our main event of the evening. I have one last, the final game, the final boss here, boys. It's the final boss. You gotta guess the player. I'm going to give, and I'll give you. I have two, so I can give one to each of you. Anthony, I'll start off with you. This player is, he led the league in block shots with 180, 20 more than the closest player. 20 more block shots this season. This season, all this season, and it's current player in the league. So 180 block shots, 20 more than the closest. Top five in average ice time is considered.
That's Jones.
No, incorrect. Do you want to, Jeeker? You want to try and steal?
Yeah, sure. So can you continue with what you're
saying?
Leads 180 block shots.
180 block shots leads the league, which is 20 more than the closest. He's top five in average ice time this season.
Okay.
And Anthony, this one might have given it away for you because you're a part of this interview. He is considered the best skater in the league by friend of the show, Ryan Johnston. If you listen to that interview.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know.
Now you know, but Jeeker's on the clock. You didn't let me get to the third one. Now it gets to the softballs here. Number 77 leads the charge on the blue line for the Edmonton Oilers.
I know who it is now, so I'm going to.
Mr. Clefbaum?
Yep.
Yeah, I know who it is now. So
yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you reeling about the average, the ice time, the skating, the ice time, the block shots? Which one?
I don't know. I don't know about Clefbaum. I just didn't expect him to be in that list.
So basically,
in my eyes, the top five in ice time, if I'm just guessing, are like Letang, Shabbat, Hedman, Jones,
Burns,
Carlson, someone like that. So I didn't even expect Clefbaum to be there.
Let me. Who do you say it would be?
I thought it would be, if I had to guess a top five of like time on ice, it'd be Shabbat.
Yep, number one.
Hedman.
Nope.
Really? Letang?
Yep, he's number four.
It's like a Seth Jones or a Zach Werenke, one of those guys played. Really?
Seth Jones is on the outside looking, he's at seven. So it'd be Shabbat, Doughty, Yossi, Letang, and Clefbaum and Burns both have 25 in ice time.
Okay, that's fair though.
So yeah, and what I thought
was Clefbaum got hurt, so that's my mistake.
Well, what I thought was the best this is average ice time, by the way. This is average ice time.
Yeah.
So, and I also thought it was great because we had the interview with Ryan Johnston on our show, and he talked about how he attended a game with the San Jose Sharks and the Edmonton Oilers, and he said the best skater on that ice was not Connor McDavid, and it was Oscar Clefbaum. It was unreal.
He didn't say that exactly.
That's what he said.
He didn't single out McDavid as not being the best skater on the ice. That would be foolish.
Yeah.
I think he was just very impressed by Clefbaum because he didn't expect
But like that says something because like there's a lot of great skaters in that game.
And if that guy was a skating coach in the NHL, he would know.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So, but either way, last one, Jeeker, you get the first crack of this one. This player leads the league in faceoffs lost. He is top 10 in points and goals. And I'm going to leave it at that and see if you can guess it.
Top 10
I have a guess.
Well, keep your guess to yourself, buddy.
I have a steal.
The steal. Like they do in the Family Feud, they throw out the X's.
Is it Braden Point?
It's not Braden Point. Incorrect. Anthony, do you have it?
I was going to say Mika Zibanejad.
It is not Mika Zibanejad, so I'll keep going here, and I'll just say whoever gets it first is just going to get it. He is the captain of his team. He wears number 9. Huh?
Is Getzlaff number 9?
It's not.
No, Taylor Hall's number 9. He's number 9.
He's the captain of his team. He plays in the Metro. Pretty sure it's
Mike Modano.
It's not all time, you jackass.
Yeah, I know.
Captain of the team in the Metro?
It might be the Atlantic. I might be wrong on this.
Okay.
It is the Atlantic. It is the Atlantic. Captain of his team in the Atlantic. Anthony, shut up. You're the worst.
Oh, it's Jack Eichel.
It is Jack Eichel. He leads the league in faceoffs lost, by the way. I thought that was a really big surprise.
Yeah, well,
never thought of him as a loser in face. Oh, I've never really paid attention to him.
He knows the puck's not going anywhere if he wins it anyway. He doesn't give a shit.
He's just starting off early. He's just starting off hot. Okay,
yeah,
there it
but
is.
But I think that's a very fixable issue, though. That's something you can work on.
Yeah, well, of course. That's definitely something you can work on.
That's of all things to be weak at. I think that's something you could, especially some of his skill.
Yeah, 100%.
If he worked on that, I feel like he can improve his numbers.
100%.
I don't worry too much about it.
on that note, folks, that's it. That's all we've got. That was our main event, our Eastern Conference preview. Next week, we'll be covering the Western Conference. Starts its call-ups, all that good stuff. We had two new games debut. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And make sure, if you're not already a Patreon subscriber, to sign up, patreon.com/PowerPlayPod. patreon.com/PowerPlayPod. Oh yeah, and if you are a member of the Power Play of the Patreon page and you got a sticker, be sure to like post it. Let everyone know what they're missing. That sticker is pretty sweet.
Let us see where you put it.
Yeah, let us see where you put it. Okay. Did you send it like a bunch to people like you did with us?
It depends. Some I'll be honest.
You just threw a bunch in there.
I wasn't fair with my sticker distribution. But then on the other hand, I was fair. I sent a few more to some of our like day one listeners.
Day one-ish listeners.
And then other people just got one or two. And then I sent Jaker like just a little handful.
67, yeah.
Yeah, I got about 20.
I sent you some. And then I still have a bunch, so you know,
so basically what you're saying is become a Patreon supporter. It's just, I mean, $2 a month, man. $2 a month and you're going to get a shit ton of bonus content. We're coming back hot. We got drafts. We've got story time.
There's a lot already on there. Just by joining the Patreon, you're getting all these interviews, all these story times, all these redrafts. You're getting all that just by signing up for $2.
And you're getting it a day early.
Because then you get that RSS feed immediately.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you have that forever.
We are going to be scheduling a Patreon Zoom meeting where we're just going to shoot the shit with the people who love the show as much as we want people to love the show. Basically,
I can't wait for that.
That's going to be a great time. On that note, Jeeker, you got any final thoughts?
Let's go, Pens.
Oof, tough look. Ooh. Anthony, what do you got?
Not much. My baby.
What an asshole. What do you got? Not much.
My baby's crying in the other room, so we gotta wrap it up, boys.
Gotta wrap it up. What I learned on the show today, Jeeker should be a scout in the NHL. On that note, folks, for Jeeker, for Anthony the backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
Bye.